This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is The Pulse, the show that brings you the latest in the music world and fresh new music. Daryl and Hanifufu this evening.
Yeah, earlier we reacted to the news that the government has allocated 6 million ringgit for musicians and artists to cope with the latest lockdown. Do you think that 6 million ringgit is enough for the creative industry? You can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
That's right. Now on to our second story. I'm sure you've seen clippings of, over the weekend actually, lines outside of McDonald's all over the country waiting to buy a certain meal, a new meal, which is a BTS collab with McDonald's.
Yeah, I've seen the ads a lot on YouTube these days, but the menu is surprisingly quite, for me, I thought that they're going to introduce like a different burger or something, but apparently it's just different sauces, right?
Different sauces, same old McDonald's. But Malaysia was actually the first Asian country to officially debut. It's called the BTS meal, May the 26th. Like you said, the meal is basically a McDonald's meal made up of 10 chicken McNuggets, medium fries, a medium Coke, and two new dipping sauces. Mm. The hype for this was so strong, and you know, people came out in numbers, that the delivery app and even the website's delivery service crashed due to this BTS meal. And for me, that's kind of crazy to even have a collab, a fast food chain collab with a celebrity, right? But yeah. It's not something that's new, actually. You know, celeb-branded meals have proven to be highly successful for the fast food chains. Last year, McDonald's had their Travis Scott meal.
Which consists of just, I think, if I'm not mistaken, just a Big Mac and like a fries and just and like a large Coke, right?
A normal McDonald's meal. So it's just kind of crazy, you know. When I was like you, so I saw it in the ad and I was thinking like, okay, maybe they'll put in some photo cards, put in a little BTS figurine, or maybe even have the band member's face imprinted on the bun or something special, right?
Yeah.
But no, it was just a plain BTS meal. But in Korea, it's very common and almost desired by both the public and the companies for celebrities like BTS to be the face and for endorsements and collaborations. And it isn't just BTS fans who are this passionate about their idols. The BTS army is only one of many K-pop fan bases who drop big bucks to take out ads in Times Square in New York. K-pop acts also took the top 3 spots on the Billboard Social's 50 charts. Even to political activism, right, Hanif? I mean, I remember maybe late last year we did a story on how K-pop fans trolled a Donald Trump rally.
Yeah, indeed. I think they were pretty impactful in that sense, right? So sometimes
super effective, which made me really wonder about, I guess, K-pop fandom. You know, when we hear of K-pop, we think of their fans. I don't know, but the first thing that comes to mind is aggressive love.
Aggressive love is a very good, I guess, term to describe, right? I think they're very endearing to a certain extent. I think they are very passionate and they are definitely not scared to show their passion towards their favorite bands, right?
For sure. And K-pop for me as a genre is a whole different animal as well, you know. When you see, let's take hip-hop, for example. There'll always be conflict in hip-hop. You know, the fans of Kendrick Lamar, for example, hate Eminem and vice versa. You know what I mean? K-pop, they seem to be in the same family. Everyone is just rising together in the same way. I don't know if you feel that way, but we have someone who actually is a K-pop fan and also a BTS stan. Our colleague Julian Yap, welcome to the program, Julian. You're going to explain to us about this K-pop phenomenon. But first off, to the meal, to the McDonald's meal, to non-K-pop fans like myself and Hanif, the BTS meal just looks like we said, a normal McDonald's meal, right? For you, Julian, what was the pull of this meal?
I think it was, I do love McDonald's, let's be fair. But it was also kind of, I didn't really care too much about what the meal was going to be. I think a few days before the actual drop of the meal, it was announced it would just be these few things. It wouldn't come with any sort of photo cards or any action, like little figures or anything that people were expecting.
Yeah.
There was news about special packaging. And it was, I think, just the idea of being able to be a part of something special, even though it is you know, readily available nationwide across the world. Mm. But it was getting a little bit of something that was affordable, when a lot of the time merchandise for anything that you get is expensive. And that's almost sort of why the packaging is important, because it feels a little bit more. And that's why I've kept it all.
Great. Moving away from the McDonald's package, in 2017, BTS ended Bieber's 6-year streak to win the Top Social Artist Award at the Billboard Music Awards to the tune of more than 300 million votes worldwide. Most music from the East stays in the region usually, but for BTS in particular, it is a global cultural phenomenon, right? So what would you attribute that to?
I think it's a couple of things. I think from the start, BTS comes from a very small agency. And it was a goal from the start. You know, they didn't have a lot of marketing budget, and they did build up their following. And that's why their army is so strong, and why that fan base is so loyal, because it was through social media. And it was, you know, sharing that intimate part of their life, being very open about their problems, as being literally the same age as you. Mm. You know, we all go through the same thing. Just because we are K-pop stars, K-pop idols, we go through the same thing. And I think for anyone who is a new fan like myself, just going into it, the appeal was the kind of artistry of it all. You know, I watched one music video and I had to watch more, because it was almost like I couldn't take my eyes off of them. The dancing is intricate and incredible. The music, even if you're not a fan of pop music, I think they are earworms, so they do sort of wiggle into your ears, and you know, you can't get them out of your head. But I think overall, once you get even a little bit into BTS, you do sort of get a sense of their message. Hmm. I think it which was something they wanted to do from the start, the idea of having a group of young artists who are open about their mental health, about the struggles that a young person would go through. And a lot of the time, that can be simplified a bit. Obviously, you know, we're going to talk about self-love, or we're going to talk about self-acceptance. It can be simplified through music, but it's also not necessarily still very much openly talked about, even in Western pop. And I think that's that was very refreshing.
Mm, I got you. So what I'm getting here is that their music, in terms of messaging, is relatable, right? Mm-hmm. So you know the boy bands of the early 2000s would sing about love and sing about a girl. But in BTS messaging, or K-pop in general, their messaging seems to be a lot more personal. Is that right to say?
Well, to be fair, they do still sing about the girls and having, you know, let's go get some love. And I can't say about K-pop in general. I don't like as many groups as I'd want to. I want to know more. But I think especially for BTS, they have that message. And I think for K-pop as a wider sphere, it's, you know, creating those earworms. It's creating pure spectacles when Western artists would typically usually do less. When you can have a group that's doing 150%, why would you settle for 100 or 50%?
Mm, for sure. And I think another thing to attribute their popularity to is the advent of social media, right? They boomed at the same time social media was on the rise. And, you know, just looking a bit at my Twitter list, you know, the trending list is almost 24/7 K-pop related in terms of the trending topics. Julian, how much has social media elevated BTS and, in a way, K-pop fandom?
I think it's definitely something that, because it is a sort of new way to have a fandom, right? It's not completely new, but if we think about maybe even 10 years ago, it's completely different to what it is now. It's a fandom and sharing of, it's a community that's completely bred online.
Mm,
and
exactly, yeah.
It is sharing of, you know, oh, look at this photo, look at this video. And it seems like small little things, but it happens so quickly that it kind of erupts overnight. And it almost feels like, I think as a new fan going into BTS or even into K-pop, it's sort of really comforting to see that. It's almost indescribable joy to be able to share that with a lot of people, even if you don't know them, because you both find this part, this 1-2 second part of the video incredible, because you know that other people are doing the same. And I think especially for K-pop, social media is the, you know, the sort is where fan cams have started. Fan cams, for anyone who doesn't know, is videos focusing on a single artist on stage as they perform, because you get to see every little thing they do in a choreography.
Right.
And that has been because of fan cams. They've been able to, a lot of fans have been able to push their groups that they love forward. And, you know, loads of people find new groups from there. But also these fan cams have also gotten a lot of news, news stories pushed out. I actually learned about the Israel and Gaza conflict because of the Palestine conflict, because of K-pop stans and the trending Twitter tag. I know that I'm not trying to, you know, lighten the topic or anything. It is incredibly serious, but you know, this is how it's crazy, young people using a platform that they know how to use and sharing the message in the way that they know how, and it's incredibly effective.
It's a well-known fact that there are academies and labels grooming these next big stars, right? Some would say music that quote-unquote has no soul, right? Looking at K-pop stars as idols and interns, idols are seen as products, right? What they do is never their choice and it's always carefully planned, manufactured. Do you think that this fact takes away from your enjoyment of listening to the music?
I think yes and no. As a fan of a group that feels like they aren't completely intentionally formed in that way, in the way that a lot of groups are, and also I'm fans of both of these, and I think it's sort of the idea that it's almost like seeing something that has been created so perfectly and with so much intention that it's not that you have to enjoy it, it's that it's created for your enjoyment,
right?
And it is still a piece of entertainment.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of groups having found out that a lot of groups have had to go through a lot of troubles and have to go through this incredibly awful industry has made me not want to care more about these groups or any groups from that agency, because I know they don't treat them well, because I don't want to support anything like that. But it is also, I think a lot of people do see that, you know, these people have suffered. Not really suffered, but, you know, they've trained and they've worked hard and they're where they are today because they've gone through all that. Mm. And I think that is a big part of K-pop.
Yeah, Julian, one thing I've noticed about K-pop fandom as well is that, like I said, at the top of the show, it's almost like aggressive love and obsession like no other. It's either you're with us or against us. What can you say about this, Julian? But first off, are you the aggressive one?
Oh my God, no, definitely not. I've never, ever interacted with a K-pop fan, unfortunately. I don't know if I ever will, just because of that possibility of aggressiveness. But yeah, I think they definitely are. And there's goods and bads of that, right?
Of course,
so you've got the good side of it. One of the greatest things I think about BTS and their ARMY is that they're very open and they're very welcoming. You know, you happen to say something wrong, someone will correct you and say, I'm just trying to teach you, because everyone was a new fan at one point. And because that is the message that the group puts out, they don't want anyone to ever be alienated before anything that they believe in or think or say. I think the bad side of that, you know, you do have self-policing within that group, which is also great, because you do a lot of people who are fans not interacted with K-pop before, or rather not interacted with idol culture or even like any sort of culture in this way through social media, because it is a whole different beast on its own. And I think it's this kind of policing, not really policing, but you know, this is right and this is wrong of stan culture. I think it does inform a lot of people in how you can work online, how social media and respect on social media does work. I think the extreme part of that on both ends is, we love this group so much, you cannot have them. Or I love this member so much, you cannot like any other member. It's too much, obviously. And almost a bit more fanatical than any other fan base in the world.
Yeah, for sure. It's almost like idol culture, right?
Yeah, it's terrifying.
The K-pop fandom is quite special, right? The popular belief is that their fans are mostly made of early teens. But in reality, it crosses generations, with even older audiences joining the ARMY, something that's very rare for artists or even genres these days, right? What are your thoughts on this?
I think just in general, in the past, there's always been a lot of guilty pleasures or shame or even shaming when it comes to music, right? Like, look what happened to disco, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think for any piece of entertainment or culture, there will always be the, well, this is highbrow and this is lowbrow. But I don't know if this is directly because of K-pop or because it's 2021 and no one should care about that at all. But I think in general, the idea is love what you love. And if you, it doesn't even have to be a guilty pleasure anymore if you love it. And I don't think, which is obviously great. And that's the way that's where we should be going. I think K-pop is a big part of that. I do remember remember having that feeling of, oh no, I'm not going to listen. That's K-pop. I think it is, especially with a lot of the groups, it is, once you get into the fandoms, the idea is shared love and shared respect for ultimately, you know, these incredible groups that obviously you want to share with a lot of other people. I do know a lot of older people who have gotten into K-pop and BTS, but that is also because at the end of the day, they are just great entertainment and really great media personality or music. So I like that they're breaking barriers. So I think that's fun.
Thank you very much, Julian Yap, our BFM colleague and also a BTS stan. I think we learned a lot today, Hanif.
Indeed.
About the K-pop culture. But for a new tune now from Korea, we move to Norway for my favorite Norwegian duo.
Yes.
A new song from them.
Yeah, indeed. This is Kings of Convenience with Fever right here on The Pulse, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.